right? UMPOS. They're signatory. And yet, are they honoring their commitment to UNCLOS? No, they're telling everybody that they control the Strait of Hormuz.
Right.
So are they or are they not? Period. Okay, now they pursued this policy. We have every right as the global community to say no. And if you look what Trump has done, the reason why everybody was against doing this was the fear of secondary, tertiary, and quaternary effects, second, third, and fourth order effects. Oh my God, what if the United States fails? Well, what I'm saying is that the United States, what they've been doing is they've been trying to tell us, gaslight us, because they know we play poker. What they're trying to do is they're trying to gaslight everybody into believing that the United States isn't always dealt in every hand, isn't always dealt aces. Like when the United States sits down at the geopolitical game board, at the geopolitical poker table, every turn, every hand that is thrown, they just deal two aces up top of the deck, face down to the United States.
Yep.
Everybody else gets whole cards.
Right. Yep.
They get whatever they get off the deck.
Right.
Okay. But the United States always has aces.
You know,
they
I
get
like
the top two. They get the top two aces off the deck, shuffle the other 50 cards, deal those out, flop them, and then try and beat, but it's all dependent upon this thing. And that's the board that they set up. And we said, no, we're not playing chess, we're playing poker. So yes. Don Su,
and we have the
Sun Tzu says, look, never fight on ground prepared by your enemy. Yep. They want to play chess, we're going to play
poker.
That's
the art of war, people.
Right, we're going to play poker. Yep. Okay, it's that simple. Let's not quibble about the mechanics of the hand. It's just that they were playing one game and we're playing something else. And when you do that, it's a bluff.
Brilliant.
That's the way, and that's what Trump did. And everybody's mad because Chatham House rules of geopolitics, because of, you know, consensus politics says everybody has to play chess.
Tom Luongo, Google Goats and Guns. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Andy. How are you? Trying not to lose my mind watching everybody lose their minds over what's actually happening in Iran.
I was actually going to say that you're probably trying not to lose your mind over people like me losing my mind. So, so I want to go down the rabbit hole. I was and am, well, not as confused anymore because I think I know the play behind this.
Okay. Why don't you tell me what you think the play is? Because I'd be really interested to hear before I like framework. I put my framework out because I mean at this point everybody should know what my framework is. I'd like to hear what you have to say so that I can like work through it. I think that would be great, actually.
Okay. So to all my viewers and listeners here, this is gamesmanship, and just keep that in mind. And that's why I love talking to Tom about this. Is a the view, the lens of a game. And I think we really have to look at all of these movements and plays like this. So Tom, if we can pull this off, and I was highly suspicious that we would pull it off or we would even attempt to pull it off. And just for the record, I wasn't for it. But if we can pull this off, gamesmanship, we now have a tremendous amount of influence over a lot of oil. That's number one. We have control over probably the most important passageway, even more than I would argue the Panama Canal in the world. So that's number two. We deal with and eliminate an enemy. And we can argue all we want if they're enemies or not, but that's not what I'm trying to do. But at the end of the day, they're an enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's regardless of Israel, or I'm just talking, just they hate the U.S. Okay, so that's number three. And then fourth is if we can get oil down, which I think they can, and I think that's going to happen, you've just eliminated a potential problem. It's not going to be a problem not only for next election, but it's not going to be a problem for the next several elections. So that's how I see this, if you can pull this off. If you can pull this off.
Okay, have you done? Okay,
I
I got about five other things that are far more important than even those, but that's
Yeah,
cool.
I'm all
Okay.
ears.
Okay. So we also get control over shipping insurance. We get to get rid of the chaos premium on the global markets because no longer are
Yeah.
the
Yes.
state the greatest sponsors of terror in across all of the geographic choke points. That's
Why
the
didn't I
straight.
think of that?
Okay, which
That's
is what.
profound.
Okay, wait. So that one, which then ties back to London, which then ties back to Brussels, which then ties back to Hong Kong, which then ties back to here and here and here and here. And so let's just stop. Let's just put everything on the table. That's the big one. But the other one is the
Yeah.
following. Why does Iran get to have a nuclear weapon when they've already proven, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that what they're trying to do is expand Shia Islam on the ground at the expense of everybody else in the region? That's one arc. That's one angle on it. I know there's a lot of people who will say, "Ah, that's not what they're doing." No, that's what they're doing. Like, you can either say I mean, that's their doctrine, that they're a theocracy, they're the Shia Islam, blah, blah, blah. We can go that route. I'm not here to like argue the eschatology or any of this stuff. That's not what I'm here for. They
Right.
but they have a plan. They have a doctrine. They execute on that doctrine. They fund a whole bunch of Shia militias all over the region. They kill our guys in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon.
Right.
They've killed our guys all around the world. Like, I was chatting with Dexter White this morning, and we brought this up just on this particular angle. And he's reminded everybody that, we just defeated Saddam Hussein in the Gulf War in like, I don't know, 2 days. Same thing we did in Iran here. And then for the next, and our biggest problem was that we then went in and tried to turn Iraq into a democracy, because that's what the freaking stupid neocons like Mark Levin and Lindsey Graham and John McCain and all those terrible, horrible people that nobody likes, including me, including anybody, wanted us to do. And then Iran said, okay, well, so Iran was actually the ones doing the work,
Right.
right?
So time out. This is not in your thesis that you're telling me or about to tell me. This is not that.
What's that? Yeah, that's just part of the story here. Let's just go back and remind ourselves why it is that Trump has every right as the American president, right? To, we've been fighting in the Middle East for years. We've been ensuring global shipping through the U.S. Navy and through our bases, which are, again, you can argue and be horrified and hate, us having 150 bases around the world and blah, 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 blah. And that's, we're there. And that's, we've all seen the memes from the libertarians about, Iran is such a terrible, it's such a terrible thing. They put their country right next to all of our bases. Like, we've seen those memes, right? And look, I get it. I'm not whitewashing the past. I'm not here to litigate the past. Okay. And anybody who's doing the litigating the past needs to stop for a minute and needs to remind ourselves that we're trying to fix this problem. Just because the United States and Britain and Europe and everybody else have been playing a very, very duplicitous game, and the Israelis have been playing a very duplicitous game around Iran for 120 years, does not mean that Iran is justified in any way, manner, shape, or form, blackmailing the world with disruption of global commerce and killing people in nuclear fire. I'm
No.
sorry, they don't. Okay. They can pursue that as a national strategy. And we, as the rest of the world, can go, sorry. And you can say, well, that's not fair. Well, who said life is fair?
Yeah.
So now, let's back up for a second. Again, this is not about the logic of the individual's life, right? Joe Kent and like the imminent threat thing. Imminent threat is irrelevant. Imminent threat is, Antifa coming to my driveway and, threatening to dox me and I'll shoot my and poison my dog. That's
Right.
imminent threat. I've got the sheriff that I can call to deal with that problem. Who do you call? Who's the sheriff?
We are.
Oh, no. Well, no. We technically are not,
Well, we've acted
but
as the sheriff.
someone has to act that way when they get to a point where they have decided now we're going to go to the next level. And the next level is we have all of this enriched uranium. We've been lying about our pursuit of nuclear weapons. We've issued a fatwa. Yeah, well, that's nice. Then why do you have 462 kilograms of 60% enriched uranium, which we know, which everybody knows is it's easy to go from that to weapons grade to them and then boom, and then on all of it. Now, the question is, of course, do they have the miniaturization technology to put it on a missile and da, 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 or what are they going to do with it? It's fine. That's an issue. Like everything else, that's mechanics. The reality is that they continue to pursue that as a means of blackmail and as a negotiating tactic in order to get something that they don't deserve, which is they want control of the Straits of Hormuz in order to do what? Threaten everybody with global blackmail over global commerce so that they can continue to do whatever it is that they think they have every right to do, which is to spread Shia Islam by the sword, the gun, or persuasion around the world. You can argue with that, and I'm being generous when I say that's their reasoning. I happen to just think that they're working with the same old colonial powers that have been extracting all the wealth of the world for themselves, and running guns and drugs and everything else. But I mean,
Perfect.
maybe Iran has their own agenda that's
Well, that's
adjacent, that's
I
parallel
know.
to and adjacent to whatever the remnant of the British Empire wants, what the Europeans want. And everybody's like got their angle, right? And you have a big Venn diagram of incentives. And it all comes down to, hey, if we control the choke point, we control the choke point of the world, and we have a nuclear weapon with a 3,000-mile throw weight on it. We can reach the Straits of Malacca, London,
Yeah.
Bosporus, Gibraltar, this, everything except the Panama Canal, as all the geographic choke points around the world.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to basic Mackinder Heartland theory and what's dominated British foreign policy for 300 years or 200 years, which is control all the choke points,
Yeah.
control the flow system of control the flow of money around the world, not even necessarily controlling they don't care about the commodities themselves. They care about the control of money. They can care about the flow of money around the world. So that's oil, gold, silver, clearing, settlement, contract law, blah, blah, blah. All of those things all flow through City of London.
Yeah.
Every bit of it. Can't
Yep.
argue with it. Can't yell. Can't deny it. You have to deal with it. Yes, there are outposts in New York. Yes, there are outposts in Singapore, Hong Kong, Zurich, Brussels, Tehran, Dubai, blah, blah. Yeah, absolutely. So now I've got, other arguments I can make about where they're trying to what they're trying to do in relation to and in conjunction with Iran on this. But the basic thing is as follows. Do we want more or fewer nuclear weapons in the world?
Fewer.
Let's fewer. I think everybody would agree with that. Except for the people, except for the people who are right now justifying all of Iran's actions, saying they get to have a nuclear weapon. Because if Israel gets to have nuclear weapons, then Iran gets to have nuclear weapons. And
I
if
didn't think about
Pakistan
that.
and if Pakistan has nuclear weapons, then Iran
Didn't
gets to have nuclear weapons. Has
think
anybody
about
like
that. You're right.
has anybody like just stopped and said, yeah, no, I don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon, and I don't want Pakistan to have nuclear weapons. I don't want Israel to have nuclear weapons. I don't want the Russians to have them. I don't want us to have them. I don't want anybody to have them. So I've been looking at this, and I think Trump has made this point abundantly clear that he hates nuclear weapons. He's only
Right.
been saying it for about 40 years. I'm sorry, whether you like the man or you hate the man, go back and watch his interviews and read his stuff. He's been very clear about what it is that he actually wants to achieve in this life, right? What he thinks is the right course of action and course of policy. So maybe, just maybe, Iran is a is the bridge too far. You can argue, and now everybody will argue it's because he's beholden to Israel and it's nice. I just don't see it. What I see is Iran, sorry, the United States and Israel have overlapping incentives to stop Iran from having a nuclear weapon, but they are not the same set of incentives.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm glad you said that because it doesn't mean just because we're air quotes doing this together, and I can eliminate the air quotes on that because we're doing it together. Doesn't mean we have the same reasons, or this is just Israel has them.
And
But
I'm and, and I'm
doesn't
sick to
mean that.
death.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I'm sick to death of everybody trying to play the Thomas Massie card that everybody in Washington is owned by AIPAC and blah, blah, blah. And the Jews run everything. I'm like, there's 1.1 billion Muslims in the world. There's more Shia Muslims in Iran than there are Jews in the world.
Right.
Okay. Maybe the Jews are, in this respect, are just the barnacles on power and not the actual power.
Right.
Maybe they're just the scapegoats for the people who are actually in power running everything. And, some of those people who are in power happen to be Jewish. And so then we can do the play the guilt by association game, and we can go back and forth and all of this stuff. How about we just stop for a second and go, well, they have their agenda. Their agenda is survival.
Yeah.
They're not nice people. They're not Christian. They don't believe in forgiveness, neither do the Muslims.
Right.
Sorry. Like, there's a fundamental difference between the three supposedly Abrahamic religions. Only one of them actually believes that,
In grace.
we're that in redemption of any former, basic kindness or any of that stuff. Like, they don't know, like the other two are like an eye, are just literally like medieval, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, the whole nine yards, right?
Or more than
And
that, yeah, just inflict as much pain on your
sorry if, sorry if this is offending people, but we all know this. Now, the fact that there are Muslims in the world and there are Jews in the world who have taken out of their texts, very reasonable, messages of peace, that's to their credit,
Right.
right? And I know I'm out over my skis on this, and I really shouldn't be talking about this stuff, but I'm going to bring it in here because at some point, everybody's making some kind of argument as to why Iran should have a nuclear weapon, why we
Yeah.
should have proliferation of nuclear weapons when we're all supposedly signatories. I know Israel's not a signatory of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. We'll deal with that. So now let's just talk about where we are today.
Yeah.
The United States decided, by Donald Trump decided, Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. Just like Donald Trump doesn't want the war in Ukraine to continue, but he can't stop the war in Ukraine because Ukraine refuses to stop, fighting because they've got backing from the Europeans, which we know, which we all know and have seen that play itself out. So that can't end. So, but we can end Iran as a problem if we make a decision to go after them. And it doesn't matter whether they were an imminent threat or not an imminent threat. This is where I'm like, I'm a little angry with, this is where I'm gonna, part ways with Joe Kent on this. Like, no, that doesn't matter whether they're an imminent threat or not. This is the time to take care of this problem because there was all these other issues and all these other timing issues that were at play here. Last summer, Israel and the United States attacked Iran. For whatever reason, Iran was, whatever their justification was, doesn't matter. Okay. It really doesn't matter. And I know some people, and I can hear the people in the audience, oh, God damn, it does matter. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because Iran is not an honest broker.
Yeah.
Period. They may be under threat. They may be lying in order to try and save themselves, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, they've had every opportunity to negotiate down their nuclear ambitions, and they have not done so honestly. Period. Because if they did, Trump would not have bombed
We wouldn't
them.
have went in there. Yeah.
He
Okay,
didn't
so
want to do this because what he wants to do is clearly get rid of the IRGC. And again, this is not necessarily about Iran, because I've now done spend like what 15 minutes now violating my first rule of all this, which is that Iran's not a monolith, Israel's not a monolith, the United States isn't a monolith, the UK isn't a monolith, France isn't a monolith, Iran is at least four different freaking factions with different agendas, and one is in charge of their foreign policy and their nuclear program, and the others have been suppressed because that one's dominant, and that would be the IRGC and or the theocracy, the supposedly peaceful Shia clerics, which I don't believe for a minute are peaceful, but I can make the argument that maybe they've got a gun to their head because the IRGC has gotten out of control. I'm perfectly willing to have that conversation. You want to have an hour discussion about that? Let's go do that. But that's a fundamentally different conversation. So let's just get down to brass tacks. The IRGC is pursuing a nuclear weapon. They pursued a strategy of axes of resistance around the Middle East in order to threaten and blackmail global shipping and engage in what affect our acts of piracy against UNCLOS, which they are the universal national law of the covenant of the sea, right? UNCLOS, they're signatory. And yet, are they honoring their commitment to UNCLOS? No, they're telling everybody that they control the Strait of Hormuz.
Right.
So are they or are they not? Period. Okay, now, they pursued this policy. We have every right as the global community to say no. And if you look what Trump has done, the reason why everybody was against doing this was the fear of secondary, tertiary, and quaternary effects, second, third, and fourth order effects. Oh my God, what if the United States fails? We've all been gaslit into believing that the United States is not powerful enough to take on Iran. Why? Because Iranian propaganda is really fucking good.
Yeah.
I believed that shit until June 12th of last year. And then on June 12th, the United States and Israel, really just Israel, performed one of the greatest combined arms and intelligence operations, human intelligence operations in the history of the fucking world, and caught Iran with their pants down. Right?
Well,
yeah. The United States, this happened. And now this happened, right? Israel did that. The United States defended Israel, came in at the end. Trump ends the war by bombing Fordow and the Natanz and says, I'm going to get what I want out of this.
Yeah.
And Iran was proven to be, for the most part, a paper tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they immediately.
Okay. Before you go into that, and this is a great thought. I want to pull on this thought some more.
Sure.
But I want to just revisit the past 4 weeks. And on the record, okay, but just give me a second. Okay, so on the record, when this first started, I'm texting with my friends, like, what the hell, and all this. And also, I'm on the record, and I maintain this. I'm against war. I'm against war. I don't want to.
Who isn't?
Yeah, right? Yeah, and I'm not saying you are or anybody else.
Like, I'm this Gold Goats and Guns does not say, I don't kick puppies. Like, sorry. Of course. No rational person is for war.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That being said, I want to know the why. And here, this is what I told my friends. And this is what I told my friends. And I had a lunch with a really good friend of mine. We talked about this. So this is what I told my friend. Either Trump got really bad intel and he's wrong. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two, he's right.
Here we are 3 weeks later.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Now here's, again, I'm divorcing ethics. He's right. And you can make it, if he was right, you can actually make an ethical argument, right?
Of course you can, which is kind of what I'm doing.
Which is what you're doing, okay. I had lunch with a really good friend of mine. And he manages a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's selling all of his oil stocks. And again, he's not pro-war by any means. He's not trying to blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, this will be over. This was a week ago. This will be over in a week.
Mm-hmm.
I go, well, why do you think it'll be over in a week? He goes, well, that's what Trump said it would. And I believe him. I think it's going to be over in a week. And oil is going to come down after Iran is settled down or taken out. And it looks like, as what's today, the 24th? It looks like that.
23rd. Yeah.
23rd. That looks like that's happening. Go, Tom. There you go.
Okay. So, again, I see this is, I agree that it's scenario number two. Scenario number one is he got bad intel. Well, if he got bad intel, no, he didn't get bad intel. Iran, to their credit, the IRGC, and remember, there's the IRGC, the civilian military. Those are two different things. Right. It's a civilian government, it's a theocracy, those are two different things.
Right.
Okay. After he bombs Fordow and the Natanz last year, and he tells the world, look, we're not standing for this. New sheriff in town, we're not doing this. Iran then, so the IRGC at that point has a choice. And again, this is why I was saying when I came into this, this understanding that Iran's search for nuclear weapon, quest for nuclear weapon, is the forever war. You never want to, that never, if they can keep us in this perpetual, oh my God, will they, won't they, will they, won't they, will they, won't they, and then they use that in order to get all the shit that they don't deserve. Because they have this blackmail card in their back pocket. They're fronting, I mean, they're playing, they're Persians. They're playing chess. Well, I can move here and then I can discuss, and I get you embroiled in this battle over here while I do this thing over here, and then I can make the game board really complicated. And they're smart, freaking, and clever people. No doubt. Not taking anything away from them. There's only one problem. Americans don't play chess. Well, we do. Oh, what's our national game?
Football.
No.
But
It's not baseball either. Ain't hockey, ain't basketball, it ain't anything else. It
MMA.
is Texas fucking Hold'em.
Right. Okay.
It's
Got
poker. It's
it. Got
poker. And it's not five card draw and it's not seven card stud. It's Texas fucking Hold'em. Now, when you understand that we're playing Texas Hold'em and the Iran is playing chess, right? The Brits play, I don't know, cribbage or so, whatever they play. They have their game, right? And it's they really just they just like playing. They like playing chess as well. We don't play chess. If any, and if we do play chess, we like to play speed chess because we're Americans and we have shit to do and we don't want to take 27 days to play a goddamn game. We're like, no, let's get this thing over in 6 minutes. Go, 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 right? Then we play speed chess, right? So, because that kind of shit really sharpens the mind because you got to make decisions fast. No analysis paralysis, no bullshit. Just play the goddamn game. It's your turn, go. Right? Yeah.
We're holding aces and Iran's holding deuces. That's what you're saying, Texas.
Well, what I'm saying is that the United States, what they've been doing is they've been trying to tell us, gaslight us, because they know we play they know we play poker. What they're trying to do is they're trying to gaslight everybody into believing that the United States isn't always dealt in every hand, isn't always dealt aces. Like when the United States sits down at the geopolitical game board, at the geopolitical poker table, every turn, every hand that is thrown, they just deal two aces up top of the deck, face down to the United States. Everybody else gets whole cards. They get whatever they get off the deck. Okay. But the United States always has aces.
You know, I
They get the
like this
top two, they get the
a
top
lot.
two aces off the deck, shuffle the other 50 cards, deal those out, flop them, and then try and beat. And now
This is a
the
great
truth is,
analogy.
that the United States, that in Texas Hold'em, aces are only good 60% of the time.
That's
So
what's a
there's
great
risk.
analogy.
So there's risk associated with always having aces. There's risk in not playing your aces well, not playing position, not doing this, not doing that, all the shit that goes along with high-level Texas Hold'em. But the truth of the matter is that in every hand, because we have a tremendous pile of money and we have a tremendous pile of assets and we have a tremendous ability to rebuy, doesn't matter that this is a, that the blinds are 10,000, 20,000. Got news for you. We can play a 10, 20. We can play a 10-20 blind game and do infinite rebuys. The Iranians can't. The Russians can't. The Europeans have clearly proven they can't. Britain cannot. And so when you model it like that, you realize that the United States can play every can lose five hands in a row, and it doesn't matter.
Doesn't
But
matter.
if Iran loses one or two hands, they're done. So in this particular game, after all this time, in this hand, the United States has got their aces and they fought the set. And Iran is fronting that they've got, I don't know, they've got something else. They've got something else. The flop came down, I don't know, whatever. They came down ace, king, king, or whatever they think they've got. And they're trying to, they're playing two, they're playing a Doyle Brunson and they're sitting on two pair, if at best. And the flop comes out ace 10-2, and they're sitting on 2-10, and they're hoping that it's a river or turn. I'm like, no, they're not gonna. You're not rivering shit. Like we've got you dead to rights. Like, and or they're fronting a pair of tens. Like you're fronting middle pair against a set of aces. Fuck you. You're supposed to fold, you dumbass. But no, they keep playing and they keep moving pawns around the table, and we're like, dumbass, we're pushing all in. Now, what are you going to do? This is a way too down the line in terms of that metaphor. I just like to make it simple. Like, what does
I
it
think
take for
it's a
somebody to?
great example. It's
I think this is so, I think it's even simpler than that. I said this in a tweet to somebody the other day. I said, Iran tried to set up the board, and the British tried to set up the board, and the Europeans set up the board as a big game of chess. Bind everybody down if and think six, seven, eight moves ahead, but it's all dependent upon this thing. And that's the board that they set up. And we said, no, we're not playing chess, we're playing poker. So Don Tzu,
And we have the deck.
Sun Tzu says, look, never fight on ground prepared by your enemy. They want to play chess, we're
That's
going to
the art
play
of war,
poker.
people. That's the
Right,
art of
we're going
war.
to play poker. Okay, it's that simple. Let's not quibble about the mechanics of the hand. It's just that they were playing one game and we're playing something else. And when you do that, it's a bluff.
Brilliant.
That's the way, and that's what Trump did. And everybody's mad because Chatham House rules of geopolitics, because of consensus politics says everybody has to play chess. Everybody has to respect all these other little things and this and that and all these minor threats and all this stuff. And Trump's like, how about I pick up my lightsaber, I press the stud when the bleak blue beam comes out, it even says Gordian on the side of it, and we cut all these Gordian knots and we just cleave through everything. And we're like Darth Vader at the end of fucking Rogue One.
That is so Trump too, though. It's like, what, why are we even pussyfooting around? Just get it done.
Right. Why are we
Get it done.
playing their game? Why would you do this? It doesn't make any sense. If you're going to play the game and you have bigger goals than respecting Iran's sovereignty, why don't you say, how about Iran's not even a sovereign nation? What if they're just another plaything of vaster powers like everybody else, like all these other middle countries are? Is Ukraine a sovereign nation? The same people today who are crashing out and justifying and saying we're not justified for going after Iran for pursuing a nuclear weapon are the same people that justified Putin going into Ukraine because NATO threatened to give Ukraine a nuclear weapon.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense. Like, we can understand the alt media can understand, and the alternative geopolitics that can understand the Russian perspective of why they had to go into Ukraine and defend the Donbass. And I'm still, by the way, still think the Russians were justified. We
No,
can
do I?
argue about what we can argue about whether or not they have been successful in their in what and how they've prosecuted the war, what this has uncovered about Russian strength and weaknesses in terms of their military doctrine, in terms of this, in terms of that. That's fine. That's a different conversation. Whether they were justified from their national interest perspective to do what they did, still to this day, think they did the right thing. I also think that the United States, and to a lesser extent, and I mean, even I hate to give you, I so don't like Israel that I don't even want to admit that it's in their national interest to go after Iran, but it is. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter whether we like them or don't like them. They have their interests. They doesn't matter whether you think Israel has a right to exist or not because we stole it, because the British stole their land and gave it to them. Like, again, I'm not here to litigate history. History happened. Okay. If you want to argue that, then you have to start arguing along with all these people about decolonization and giving back the land to the Indians because it's all stolen ground and all this, and white people don't have a right to any of their fucking land on the planet because at one point it was owned by a brown person, 2 million years ago. Like, oh, shut the fuck up. Like, seriously? We're gonna have this is the kind of this is the kind of argument we're gonna have about this stuff. How about we drew some borders after World War II? Those borders were clearly done, were clearly had problems that were going to have to be resolved in the future at some point. There were forces that were still in power, if not empowered by those borders that were drawn and the systems that were put in place. And what I've been trying to argue is that the United States hasn't even been in control of its own empire for most of, for at least my lifetime, is probably since the end of World War II. Because nothing we've done has really benefited the American people or the United States. It's benefited the old colonial oligarchy that existed pre-World War II, and they have extended their that the remnant of that empire into this future. So
and
when people
really are, about.
And when people are, and rightly, they're like, this is the end of an empire. They're wrongly thinking that the empire that's about to end here is the United States empire. No, 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 no. The United States has not been in control of the world long enough. The real empire that's ending is the one that started in 1694 with the formation of the Bank of England, or as Ian Burlingame put it, would be 1688 with the Orange Revolution that brought the Dutch into power and usurped the English people and, you know, and the crown of England and everything else.
I think you're right.
And that's been my framework for quite a long time, right? And so I see Iran as a very important node and network node that needs to be destroyed in its current form. Not the Iranian people, not the Iranian state, not that system, just like what's happened in Venezuela. When I saw what Trump did in Venezuela, and then he was immediately ramping up Iran in the way he was doing it, I'm like, oh. It took me a week or two. I was a little confused. I was caught up in what happened in Venezuela and all these other things. And then I, as always, because we spend all of our time talking about and reacting in real time to all of the current events, we never take a step back to reflect on current events. Think about what's happening. Take a day or two and go, oh, Venezuela. Network node, City of London, old oligarchy, high table, Davos, whatever you want to call it. He went after them, goes to Davos, gives a speech about how globalism is dead, sends all of his trade representatives and everybody else to explain to the world, oh, by the way, no. Takes out El Mencho in Jalisco State at the same time that Scott Bessent is running an operation against silver. And then right after that happens, he's moving two carrier groups, strike groups, into the Persian Gulf, in and around to deal with Iran. And then look at the operation in Venezuela.
Right.
It's not that hard. What did he do in Venezuela? He exfiltrated Maduro. He negotiated with Maduro.
And his wife.
Right. He negotiated with Maduro for weeks. And yeah, did he negotiate at the point of a gun? Well, you know, in the immortal words of Al Capone, and this is geopolitics in a box, folks, you can get farther in this life with a kind word and a gun than you can with just a kind word.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's the way things work. This is the way states have to operate amongst themselves because there is nobody else above the states. I'm sorry, international law is irrelevant. The United Nations, stupid and designed to fail and designed to ensure that everything that people wind up dying in committee.
Yeah.
Right? To quote the Phantom Menace, right? I mean, at the end of the day, George Lucas was completely fucking right. Go back and watch The Phantom Menace. It's like literally like playing out. Right?
It's
like,
true.
Here we are. It's a taxation of trade routes and, you know, and right. the Strait of Hormuz, right? Okay.
Well, and then the thing is now look what's happening in Cuba. Cuba's that's following, but that plays into the narrative really well. It's basically we're in control of our own hemisphere and we're in control over the world's assets.
Well, and look at what he did in Venezuela. He negotiated until he finally got Maduro and convinced Maduro that he can get him and his wife out and take down all take the Praetorians out. And Maduro went, okay, I'll take the deal. And then Trump sent the snake eaters and Delta Force in, mowed down all the Cuban and Colombian guards that were had Maduro. I don't consider Maduro was in charge of Venezuela. They were in charge of Venezuela, and he was the guy we're supposed to hate.
Yeah,
he's the singular figure that Venezuela reduces to. In the same way that Ayatollah Khamenei is the face of everything bad of Iran. Now, again, we can argue as to whether that's true or not true, but you're talking about when you're trying to create these kinds of narratives in the media to bamboozle people while doing, you know, to do these long form intelligence operations, for lack of a better term. You want to make these things as reductionary and as complicated as possible. So you say Ayatollah Khamenei isn't a bad guy because he comes out and he says, I issue a fatwa against nuclear weapons, or him and the, you know, whatever, right? He can't be the bad guy. He did this. And, Islam is, Shia Islam is a religion of peace and all this other stuff. And so you have all that stuff that people can hang their hat on, especially when you have the Israelis committing friggin' atrocities in Gaza. It's really easy to be on Iran's side, right? I mean, just psychologically moving people in one orbit or the other. And then you've got Trump, who everybody hates around the world. Everyone hates Donald Trump, except for the people who voted for him, except for the people who are sitting, who he's been liberating slowly but surely, right? But they don't have a voice on social media. They don't have a voice in British media. They don't have a voice in American media. They don't have a voice in American politics. They don't have a voice in British politics. They don't have a voice in EU politics. They don't have a voice in Australian politics. They are in Australian media. They don't have a voice anywhere. They don't even have a voice in Al Jazeera, for Christ's sake, because Al Jazeera is run by the fucking Qataris and they're working with the fucking British and the Iranians to run this goddamn game. No one has a voice.
Right.
So
I'm not laughing at you, by
I know
the
you're not. You're like, it's finally like making sense to you. Like, holy shit. Like,
way.
again, I had a friend
The
of mine
way you
this
say
morning
it,
tell me,
dude, funny.
I had a friend of mine this morning say to me, I'm like, dude, I have to be the, he's like trying to take me out of one framework and like give me something else. I'm like, I have to be the minority report. And I'm like, dude, how many dudes are out there actually defending Trump's actions here?
Yeah, not very
Like
many.
three of us? Everybody else is like crashing out and losing their minds. And I'm like,
Yeah.
this is all playing out exactly the way we thought it would. Now, take it one step further. So what is Iran? Iran is just Venezuela by an order of magnitude. Why? Bigger by an order of magnitude. Why? It's an order of magnitude bigger problem.
Yeah.
I mean, to
That's
Iran's
exactly what I
credit,
thought. But go ahead, go
correct.
ahead.
To Iran's credit, again, I'm not, again, don't hate the play, I hate the game. To Iran's credit, they built themselves up into enough of a threat that we had to bring two carrier strike groups, along with all the other assets, and work with the Israelis, who have unmatched human intelligence on the ground. Like, and again, don't hate the play, I hate the game. Israel's really good at this. They have reasons why they should be good at this, right? Back away from the anti-Semitism, back away from the Juice-burging, back away from the Tucker Carlsons and the Candace Owens and all these people, and just look at the primitives of the situation and say, should these people get a nuclear weapon? What would they do if they had a nuclear weapon? Well, we saw that. So then we go into Iran, and about a week beforehand, I'm like, he's gonna, he's just, he maybe he's just bluffing. He really does want to negotiate with them, blah, 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 blah. But you don't move that much material into the region and not use it. You just don't. And about a week before that was the case, before he, before February 28th, I was like, no, we're gonna do something, even if it's just targeted strikes against certain IRGC thing. And then you realize that no, you once you start down that path, you've got to kill every IRGC installation in the country.
And that's
And
what you did.
so, which is what we've done. I mean, maybe we haven't done all of it, but we've done enough of it. We've degraded them 90%. And so now, or 95%, or whatever, pick a number. I don't care. It doesn't matter. The reality is that 10 or 5 to 15% that's left, as of today, is that enough to fuck up the world? Possibly, if they pull that trigger.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to pull that trigger, because again, if they do pull that trigger, yeah, it's going to screw a lot of shit up. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be good for the United States,
Right.
because the United States will be in control of the world, of the global oil market and the oil gas market. All the Europeans buy the balls on gas. All the you'll have Japan and China and everybody else on the oil. And that way, there's like, oh, so many ways that in, but Trump didn't put the Board of Peace together, right? Didn't, put the Abraham Accords together. He didn't go into this with just this idea, the cynical idea of, oh, well, well, the Americans will just make, hundreds of billions of dollars on it. That's a nice to have. That's a stretch goal. The real goal is, let's decomplicate the world. Let's break down this stupid fucking game, this endless mid-game of chess, and let's just blow the son of a bitch and thing wide open. I could make a really, really, really esoteric argument here. For the 15 people I used to play Shadowfist with 20 years ago, if I were to tell them exactly what was, if I were to say exactly what I'm about to say, they'd be like, oh my God, you're right. That's exactly what you just did. I'm like, yeah, I just attacked with a homemade tank and two freaking power in my pool. And I attacked there and I just forked four other people and they all groaned. Why? Because they all know that in order to stop this attack or to call my bluff or to do this or to do this or to do that, they have to sacrifice everything they have in their hand that they've been holding back.
Yeah.
Or they get to let me win. And at that point, they're like, fuck you, dude. I'm like, don't hate the play, I hate the game. Just playing it to the hilt. So this is in many ways what Trump has done before and many times. And when you realize that, you know, sometimes when the opportunity is in front of you, and last summer's attack on Iran and the 12-day war, and we've got all the intelligence, to your point earlier, does he have good intelligence? Well, the 12-day war kind of proved it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we have three or four operations in a row now where the United States military, when it's finally been allowed to do the thing it was trained to do with the equipment that it was given,
that did it.
What are you going to do? You're going to complain? Well, if you're Iran, of course you're going to sit there and go, well, no, we got to shut her off. And we did this and we did that. And we're Persians and we're going to chest thump and do what they always do because that's who they are. These are people that, you know, like, I'm sorry, the Persians have been lying about losing and winning wars for 4,000 years. There's nothing new. Like, they do this, and that's fine. You know, I said this the other day. I'm like, these are people that would go home after Leonidas and the 300, like, kick their ass in the fucking, you know, in that canyon and go home and say, we won. Like, you know what I mean? That's who they are as a people. That's who they are as a culture. They've always been that way. And I'm not saying there aren't other cultures that are like that, but that's these people. Get over it and understand that. So stop with the, you know, oh my God, they said X. Well, that's nice. They say a lot of things.
Right.
Like everybody says a lot of things. I say a lot of things. Does it mean anything? How about here are receipts, here are facts, here's this. And the fact of the matter is that we're flying A-10 Warthogs around doing drone and close combat air support. There's no air defense in Iran at all. Otherwise, the A-10s would be falling out of the sky like Iranian drones.
Excuse me. Yeah.
But they're not. Like, okay. And so last point, and I'll turn it back over to you, which is the following. I knew this war was over on day two.
Okay.
You know why? Because they immediately started threatening to close the Strait of Hormuz.
Right. They didn't have
They had any other play.
Played it.
They would have been, if they were in the war at that point, they wouldn't have gone to their nuclear threat. Iran's nuclear threat has always been the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
It's always been the end game of whatever. So what they were trying to do in their game of chess was to funnel the United States into a war that they could win, which was, of course, you know, inflict enough casualties politically or make Trump back off, sink some ships, force them into this move over here, force them to put 50,000 troops on the ground or whatever it is that they had in their mind. And they had a game plan. And I'm not saying that game plan was a bad game plan. It was probably a very good game plan. But it was the wrong, but they prepared for the wrong war.
Yeah. Well, they had a pair of eights and we had a pair of aces.
I think Doyle Brunson versus aces is the way to go. And, you know, dude, you know, you win one hand of poker with 2-10 offsuit.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. And it happened to be that Doyle Brunson won the World Series of Poker with that. And good for him. But you can't bet on that. Those odds are really long and they're stupid. And you're going to lose 99% of the time you try and play that hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everything has to break your way. As opposed to day one, Trump said it, Hegseth said it, Raising Cane's said it, everybody said it. Holy shit, we got more done on day one than we ever expected. Our projections were X. We achieved 4X. And that meant, for example, if they have an operations manual for the war, like if, you know, page by page by page, we were going to do this, then we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And, you know, we went from page one to page 10. We skipped pages 2 through 9 because we achieved all of those on day one.
Yeah,
and then we're already at page 10 and everybody's like, oh my God, what happened? And so, you know, when I think about this stuff, Andy, I'm like, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, George Patton would be proud right now. He's sitting up in heaven going, dude, well done. You know why? Because we beat the enemy before they even knew they were beaten. Yeah. That's how Patton waged war. And we did so with a minimum of civilian casualties. Yes, there was a girls' school that got bombed. Very good intel to suggest that it wasn't even our bomb. It was a IRGC, air defense missile that fucked up. And are there civilian casualties in war? Of course there are. Mm-hmm. Is anybody happy that 150 girls got killed or whatever the number was? No, of course not. But then to use them as some kind of casus belli or some kind of justification as to why the Americans are evil fucking people because this happened. I every day, I can tell you that for the first 10 days of the war, every third person who gave me shit on Twitter invoked the school. They could invoke nothing else. Mm-hmm. They couldn't think through the red mist and the red haze of it. That's assuming those were people and not bots. 90% of those people were, of course, bots. But then the 10% that weren't bots, you know, they get programmed with this thing in their head, and then they allow that to take over their persona, and then they grasp for an argument about why I'm wrong or about why Trump is evil or about this or about that. And that's fine. You can do that. But that's on you. Not me. I'm just assessing what I'm seeing. And yeah. From my perspective, my personal perspective is, yeah, no. You walked into negotiations with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. Now, you don't have to like them. Of course, the natural thing is, they're both Jews, so they're not trustworthy. I'm like, well, 60 fucking countries showed up to the Board of Peace. And that was Witkoff and Kushner. All of these trade deals. Witkoff and Kushner, okay? Like, these were all done because these guys negotiated in good faith. These negotiations broke down. I got 60 negotiations that are good. I got one that went bad. Maybe when Witkoff goes on Fox News on day four of the war and says, look, they walked in and they said, we got 462 kilograms of 60% enriched uranium. We can make 11 bombs. Witkoff's like, bomb these fuckers back to the Stone Age. Yeah. They're lying through they thought that that was a flex. They thought that that was going to be an unassailable position. That and they were trying to blackmail us and make us fearful. Well,
we had a 9 or an 8,
and no one makes a good decision from fear. And we just said, we don't care,
right. Doesn't matter.
Fucking bring it.
Yeah.
And then they get slapped like the little bitches that they are. And we should be celebrating.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the part I think everybody needs to get through their heads. We should be celebrating the fact that these assholes have been taken off the board. And we should also be celebrating that they got a bunch of hits in on Israel to scare the crap out of the Israeli people so that maybe they stop being so goddamn belligerent. And right. That maybe, just maybe, the United States gets to be S. Okay, so now we're talking, let's go back to the Hobbesian dialectic.
Okay.
Right? A and B are fighting, and the only reason they don't fight is because S stays, the Superman stands over them. This is the Watchman. This is Hobbes writ large. No, we have to have S in order to keep A and B from fighting, which is right. Nonsense. But in this case, Israel and Iran are kind of infinitely aggressive towards each other. Now, yeah. Why are they infinitely aggressive towards each other? Maybe because there's the Likudniks, which are backed by the fucking British, and the IRGC, which are backed by the British, are trying to get them to fight because if they fight, they win. If the IRGC and Likudniks fight, then Britain wins because they get to pull a big off of all the chaos. They get to make money off the chaos. They get to destroy the United States, who's trying to keep these two from fighting and have been for 47 years. And Trump's like, I'm not doing any of this. I'm putting the leash on Israel, and I'm taking Iran off the fucking board. And now let's talk about how we can get rid of nukes.
Right.
Because that's what's coming. And then I'm going to tell you, by the time we get to the fucking midterms, if Trump runs the table on this, we're going to be talking about getting rid of all. We're going to be talking about having not unilateral nuclear disarmament, but we're going to have this scenario in front of us. And I'll tell you why. and everybody and anybody listening to my voice right now who's mad saying, well, if Iran can't have a nuclear weapon, then Pakistan shouldn't have a nuclear weapon. I'm like, right? No, they shouldn't. And the Israelis shouldn't have nuclear weapons. And the Ukrainians shouldn't have nuclear weapons. And the British shouldn't have nuclear weapons. And yada, yada, yada. Anybody who can't actually build and maintain their own shouldn't have nuclear weapons.
Right.
So let me ask a simple question to everybody in the audience. You know that nuclear weapons cost a lot of money to maintain. You got to keep re-upping the warheads, right? You got to do a lot of maintenance to keep those warheads from just going subcritical and then being useless. Not useless, but dirty bombs or whatever. They're not, they can't, they, you know, they can't, you can't get criticality. Britain's not in control of their nuclear weapons. We are. They're on our missiles, on their submarines. We control them. Does anybody think that, you know, Donald, the current, with the way the special relationship between the United States and the UK is going, that we would be re-upping those nuclear weapons for the British to maintain? Why would then we believe that Pakistan has enough money to keep re-upping their nuclear weapons, which we know are being backed by all these other people? Go around the world and start thinking about the amount of money everybody's spending to maintain their nuclear arsenal. If you listen to what Trump has said multiple times, he said it many times, wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a world where we didn't have to spend so goddamn much money on defending ourselves from all these assholes?
There you go. Well, let's talk about this.
And moreover, we have weaponry that we've now shown off in this war to the other states world. Not to the people. The average person on Twitter has no clue as to what's going on. But to the states that are watching this war unfold, to the technology that is being, that they can see with their radar, with their satellite imagery and everything else, they're going, our nukes are useless. Never reach their targets. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the goal has always been, how can we get past nuclear weapons? I was talking with Susan Lukindo about this and Colonel Watkins on Tommy Kerrigan's podcast the other day. And that's exactly what we brought up. Susan started bringing it up. I echoed it. Colonel Watkins was like, wouldn't that be a wonderful world? Let's realize that that threatening us with nuclear fire, that nuclear blackmail has been a tool and a weapon of the old oligarchs, regardless of whether they're British, Jewish, French, Italian, I don't care, whatever. It's all the high table, Davos, whatever you want to call it. That has been their primary mechanism by which to keep us cowed and playing this endless fucking mid-game so that assholes like the IRGC can come around and commit acts of piracy around the world and allow the fucking cartels to run fentanyl and drugs and children and traffic children and all the other. Like, how about we stop playing that game? How about we come over here and we play poker and we start punching people in the fucking mouth? And go, I don't want to live like that anymore. How about after they tried to kill Trump and then they did kill Charlie Kirk and we all said, we shouldn't have to live like this. And what did I tell you? I know I told this to you. I know we talked about this. I said, after Charlie Kirk dies, fuck this. We should not have to live like this anymore. We won't live like this anymore. And when you say to yourself, I will not live like this one second longer, and if I don't personally have the power to go out and do that, to make that true, but I got somebody up in the White House who can and clearly wants to do that, I'm willing to quote unquote play the odds, watch the flop and see how it comes out.
That's the thing.
And if you're not comfortable with that, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to be able to analyze the world that way. That's how I would put it for you. Okay, go ahead.
Well, this is my whole thing now, and I've taken you too long, man. We got an hour, which was great. It was great, by the way. But and I have to hold on a second. Let me make a text. I got 5 minutes.
Okay.
Hold on a second. It's my wife texting me. Hold on. Okay, game it out then.
Well, what I would say is, like, why can't
okay, Trump
we,
runs the table.
If Trump runs the table, like, we could be staring at a world where, you know, we and the Russians and the Chinese get together and say, okay, yeah, we're a new nuclear non-proliferation treaty. We're going to work to denuclearize all these states. We're not going to need these weapons anymore because we have these other weapons that just make them useless. Just shoot them out of the sky with fucking lasers from space.
Right.
We have that ability now. We showed it off during this war. The Iranians got plenty of ballistic missiles off, which we shot down with lasers from space. I didn't believe we had these weapons. Okay? I had people telling me for 3 years, you have no idea what we have. It's insane. And I kept sitting there going, no, I think that's all bullshit. Yada, yada, yada. We, you know, we lie, they lie, everybody lies. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to assume that the propaganda was only 20%. You know, biased in every direction, meaning we're 20, you know, or, you know, that Iran's, you know, at that they've got 20% more than we want to tell. We want the world to believe we've got 20% less, yeah, all that stuff. And then, no, it turns out it's all an order of magnitude.
Okay. So game that out. That's, let's say that's over.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, I mean, from an economic standpoint, from a humanity standpoint, all of a sudden we don't have to spend nearly as much money on freaking defense as we did before. We can bring all the bases. We can, you know, take the bases down. We have to take out the layer of money that fuels all of this stuff. And if you listen to what Scott Bessent is saying, he's saying, look, 50 days worth of, I mean, it's almost like he watches my freaking podcast. 50 days worth of higher oil prices for 50 years of not having to worry about an Iranian nuke.
Yeah. Well, think about that. And then the Ron Paul objective is accomplished, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not Ron Paul that did it. It's of course Donald Trump. Because you have to have somebody like Donald Trump who's willing to play the game at the level that the game needs to be played at, which is these are mob bosses. And this mob boss happens to have control over the most powerful military in the world by an order of magnitude. I remind everybody, the biggest air force in the world is the United States Air Force. The second biggest air force in the world is the United States Navy.
Right.
The second largest Navy in the world is the U.S. Marine Corps.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That's where we are. And I understand that the Iranians, the Russians, the Chinese, and everybody, I get the propaganda war that they waged. I get it. As a matter of fact, if I were them, that's what I would have done.
Thing. Yeah.
I'd have done the same thing. I'm not stupid. Like you play the cards you have. You play the hand you're dealt. You play your cards. You play the game.
Yeah.
But you know when the other guy is like, I mean, when the other guy's okay, even if it's not poker. Even if it's, I don't care. Pick some fucking crappy Euro game like Castles of Burgundy. I get to start with 100 points, and you have to beat me. Yeah. You're not going to beat me in a game of Castles of Burgundy. That 2-210. All I got to do is come up with 110 points. I can do that in my sleep while eating crayons. Okay, if I do 25 random things in the game of Castles of Burgundy, I score 110. Yeah. I get 100. You got to come up with 220.
Yeah.
To beat me. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's the handicap here. It's like saying I get to start with, we get to play 18 holes of golf and I get hole in ones on the first 9 holes and only have to play the back 9. You got to play all 18.
Yeah.
Now beat me.
Yeah. No, I got it.
That's where we are. And I know that's hard for people. They don't want to believe it because they've been gaslit into believing that it's something else, but it's not. And so maybe, just maybe, and I'm not. I think the biggest tail risk here is that Trump gets a messianic complex.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
he's accomplishing everything.
Because if he accomplishes everything, all of a sudden he's going to think that I've got this. I can get that done. I can get that done. And you know, all of a sudden we can get into the mission overreach here, and and all of a sudden it all looks like Windows 11 and all this shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh my God, that's like the last thing I want.
Yeah.
Like, how about it's a nice tight little, it's a nice tight game. It works. It's good. You can win it all the time. Don't publish the expansion. because you'll just break it. You know what I mean? Like there's certain things that just, you know, like in the board gaming world, so many good, great games have been destroyed by one bad expansion, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Right. It's the same kind of thing. Like at some point, just stop, accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, declare victory and go home. And he may do that in the next couple of weeks. He's trying to leave the Iranian civilian government a way out of this so that they can save face, retreat across the Golden Bridge, push the IRGC out of the areas of the, and this is another thing that no one's talking about. And the last thing, and then we'll let it go, which is the following. If the reports are true that for the most part, the theocracy and the what's left of the IRGC leadership are all in Mashhad now and not in Tehran, and we can push them out of the areas where most of the people are, and two, where most of the oil is, then, you know, why don't we think about this as kind of like a game of risk? Okay, let's move them out of this territory. Iran, and that balkanizes, but that gives the people the ability to, and Trump the ability to, let's strengthen where the economic engine of Iran is, leave them, you know, crazy clerics, you know, shouting at clouds and Trump over on the Afghan border. Mm-hmm. And, you know, be done with it and move on. Yeah. And then he can go home and we can go home and we can all get back to work and not worry about this bullshit anymore. That'd be the nice thing. And again, we should be looking at these things from all those perspectives. And we should be declaring for ourselves what we're willing to put up with anymore. And if you understand what the real game is, which I've outlined in so many freaking podcasts, that this is about ending the old system of colonization.
Yeah.
If you understand that game, this is a very important move on in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And if Trump pulls it off, you're going to have to accept it. You're going to have to accept it and move on with your life.
Yeah. I mean, he might have pulled an ace here in this card game. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I thought this was very, very high risk and too much risk for me, to be candid. Yeah. But if he pulls it off.
Okay, Andy, again, you're right on that statement by you that says it's too much risk for me.
Yeah.
It's why you're not President Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad I'm not
President. I was talking with, I told the story in a podcast the other day, and I'm going to tell it again because my wife had an insight the other day. We were chatting about this. I think it was Saturday morning before I went on with Tommy's show. And she just, we were talking about what we thought Trump was trying to accomplish and all of this stuff. And she just kind of looked at me and went, God, this reminds me of The Dark Knight Returns. And I'm like, what do you mean? And now I'm talking about the Frank Miller comic book now. I'm not talking about the Christopher Nolan movies. I'm talking about The Dark Knight Returns. If you've not read The Dark Knight Returns, I do recommend you read it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give a real, real simple thing, because The Dark Knight Returns is about mythology. It's about how a person becomes a mythic figure. And it's about a Batman at the end of his career has come out of retirement to fix the world one last fucking time, right? The Dark Knight Returns. He's been retired for 20 years. And they riffed on that in the Snyderverse movies with Ben Affleck. It's a definite homage to Frank Miller in there. This hell, there's freaking whole shots. Like there's like panels in BVS, Batman v Superman, where it's like we all geeked out over. But what's important here is that in that world of Miller's world of Batman, of Gotham City, the new Gotham City commissioner, a woman, I believe it's Ellen Kyle or Ellen Keel, something like that, says, I'm going to bring down the Batman. The state, in effect, the state has to, Gordon was wrong, the Batman has to be taken down because the state has to protect itself, right? And when all is said and done, and he's done his thing, and he's, I'm not, read the comments, brilliant. She says, I can't judge him. He's too big. I couldn't do what he did. We may be living through that moment.
Yeah.
where Trump is willing to do, and again, you know, I know like there's going to be 100 comments, Trump, take Trump's cock out of your mouth, yada, yada, yada. Like, I need you to stop and think about this, because I've read that comment 1,000 times. I'm like, this may be one of those moments. It's like, you need to sit with yourself and go, you know, my wife's point was that she's like, I can't judge this because I could have never made these decisions.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's, I can't do this. I'm like, dudes, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Most of us can't do it. But, and the truth is that men like that, history doesn't know what to do with. If you're not sure what I'm talking about and you don't want to read The Dark Knight Returns, go watch Patton again.
Yeah.
And realize that that film, with all of its shortcomings, as it tries to tear Patton down, and I love the movie, don't get me wrong. What happens? Patton still is bigger than even these attempts to try and put him into context.
Yeah.
He was that immense a figure. He was that big a personality and that big a person. MacArthur has, you know, there are different, there are different men through history that have been able to do this, that are willing to take on these kinds of problems at that level and have the ego to say, yeah, I can fix the world. And we as mere mortals sometimes have to sit back and go, I can't judge that.
Yeah. Well, it's become the point of like, if he pulls it off, it's almost what your wife said for me. If he pulls it off,
How can you judge it?
We got a great outcome.
Everybody has a great outcome. And you know who gets the best outcome of it all? The Iranian people.
Iranians, I was going to say. So, hey, I got to run, man.
No problem.
Hey, real quick, how can people do business with you? How can they support you?
Sure. You can go to Patreon.com/goldgoatsandguns. You can hang out with me on Twitter, where I'm horrible. There's a link in my Twitter bio and all that stuff. But that's basically it. Just go, you know, TFL1728 on Twitter, Patreon.com/goldgoatsandguns. Sign up for the newsletter, sign up for the market reports. You'll hear more of this every day and twice a week and all the rest of it. And we'll continue to have the conversation about, you know, this. I you know, one of these days I really want to get into a post-Trump world. I really do, but we're not there yet. So.
Well, Tom, it's always a pleasure. Let's get you on soon. You got to run too. You're traveling. So, but let's chat when you get back. I really look forward to seeing you, my friend.
Sure. And we're going to see each other in a little over a month down in Atlanta. It's going to be great.
If you miss Tom, where he's going now, if I can say it, Tom, in Calgary, if you miss him.
Yeah.
There,
oh yeah, absolutely.
You might see him in my home state in Atlanta. We'll be.
We're going to do a thing with me. And I think Andy Schechtman and Alec Trainer is going to be there. It's going to be a great freaking time. Hopefully I have to have a tooth pulled in April. So hopefully I won't be coming in with my face like this friggin' big. And I look like John Hurt
in the elephant. So, you know,
I don't look like the elephant man. I'm hoping, but I have to have it done. I can't wait any longer. So, been waiting way too long to get this done. So I need to get it done and we'll go from there. That also means that you guys will not be sick of me by that point, because I'm going to take most of April off. So, all right, you guys be well. You take care. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. Thanks, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.